This is Will's Band of the Week for February 4th, 2024. Hello, and welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with Jason from Green Monster Studios in Monona, Wisconsin.
Hello. How's it going?
Welcome back, Jason. Is this your first time since the end of year list?
No, I did a partial listeners
That's right.
list episode. I did not make it back.
Then you got pulled away. But yeah. That was fun, right?
Absolutely. It was kind of nice to see what I missed out on, too.
Yeah. That was a good one. I really thought that was a fun one.
Yeah, it was. Hopefully, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger every year.
Yeah,
it'll have to be a part one and part two.
Yep. Hopefully, it'll become completely unmanageable. Great thing to hope for, right?
Yeah.
Hey, you've got a gig. You should plug it, right? People will come from all over the world. March,
everybody,
right?
Get your plane tickets. March 23rd at the Burr Oak. And we're playing with a couple other local bands, and it should be fun.
Yeah, the Baroque is cool. I think it'll be.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Be a good setting for you guys.
I'm gonna try to get out there sometime beforehand to see somebody else play it before we go out, so I can see the setup and everything.
Yeah, you can tweak the sound system so it's perfect, right? Red pants, EQ and everything, right?
Yeah.
Tell them you want your guitar twice as loud as everything else, right?
That's right.
Oh, it'll be great. It'll be great.
All night long.
Yep.
Twice as loud as everybody else's guitars.
You're being attacked by a cat right
now. I know. Baxter is. He demands affection.
Jason can't even get the mic up to the proper position because the cat's in the way.
I'm sorry, everybody. They'll get bored of me pretty soon.
Oh, God. What a nice kitty. Let's see. Probably no live reports, I'm guessing. Do you have any?
I don't have anything.
I don't either. We're settling in to 2024. Like I think I mentioned last time, I've got tickets for a few things, but no shows yet.
Well, it's hard to go out in the middle of the Wisconsin winters.
Today, the sun came out, and it just hasn't been sunny. And we were noticing there's all kinds of people that just come out of the woodwork because, the weather got a little better. So, yeah. Although I have to say the dog park was still just waterlogged because of the snowstorms we got, 3 weeks ago, whatever. It hasn't all melted yet. So,
but it's melting enough to just make it probably a mess.
Kind of muddy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. But I don't know. I think isn't it funny? We kind of haven't had a real winter. We just had those two big storms within a week while I was gone. So therefore got stranded. And now it's like, high of 40 for the foreseeable future. So I don't know.
It's a little strange, but I don't know. I guess I'm trying not to complain.
Yeah.
But it's 40 degrees in February.
Right. Well, let's see. Anything else?
There was an unfortunate death of the week. I don't know if you saw that. Wayne Kramer, the guitarist for MC5.
Oh, right. I did read
passed
that.
Passed at the age of 75.
Yep. And it was one of those, legendary bands, but I never really listened to them, so I didn't feel qualified to talk about it.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't have brought it up either. I was hoping that maybe you'd listen to them. I only really know Kick Out the Jams. I had that song somehow in the small town of Pryor, Oklahoma that I grew up in, but there was no way for me to find like an entire MC5 album unless I was driving to Tulsa. And that didn't happen too often.
How far were you from Tulsa?
Just like 45 minutes, but
so that's where you had to go, like to buy records and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, we had a small like used CD shop in town, but it was all dependent on who was selling their CDs to the shop. So
yeah,
if nobody's selling MC5, then I'm not finding a copy of it.
Yeah. Just random. Makes it more unpredictable that way though.
True.
You walk in there, you don't have any idea what they're going to have. Right.
Yep. Yep. But it was a shame to read that news.
Yep. I'm just surprised at how many of the aging rockers are hanging on. Like there's all these guys, like how old is Willie Nelson now? Is he 90?
Oh my gosh. Oh, I don't even know.
And he's coming to Madison, I think, this summer.
So. And we saw that Brian Wilson's wife passed.
Oh, right. So yeah.
My wife Connie and I were looking at like what their age difference was. And she was pretty close to his age, but he's 81. So that's.
And he's like, he's like Keith Richards too. He didn't treat his body well.
Right. Right. Yeah.
And yet these guys are 80.
Well, I often marvel at how Iggy Pop is still walking the earth.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
It's a lot. There's a lot of luck involved, and sometimes the human body can be pretty resilient, I guess.
Yeah. Maybe genetics has something to do with it. But yeah. Going back to Willie Nelson, we watched a pretty good music documentary on Netflix I was going to tell you about. I think it was like, I forget what it was called, but it was about the making of the We Are the World song.
Oh,
from the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's something about a historic night in pop. And I put it on, kind of close to bedtime, thinking it would bore me to death and just put me to sleep.
Yeah.
And I stayed up until like 11 or 11:30 watching it because I got so into it. I mean, that song is awful, but it made for some fine television.
At the time, I guess I sort of got sucked in by it. Like, it was like, yeah, it's sort of hokey, but it was like mm-hmm. this feel-good thing. And you have, like, Springsteen sing a line and then Bono, and right?
That, yeah, that must Springsteen be, was in there. And, yeah. Like, there's a whole sort of section of the documentary where they talk about how obviously Bob Dylan didn't feel like because Bob Dylan was there, it was like, why is he there among these pop stars? And like, he didn't know what to do. And I think there's always this sort of funny meme that goes around on the internet where he's just sort of dazing out, staring off into space while everybody's singing. And so they kind of go into like he obviously felt out of place. But it was like Stevie Wonder that helped him through it. It's good stuff. It's worth watching.
That sounds like fun. What was it? Bob Geldof, who was sort of the director of it from the Boomtown Rats.
The writer was what's his name? Well, Michael Jackson wrote it with The Greatest Night in Pop was the documentary, and then here it is. Lionel Richie was the other guy that wrote it. With Michael Jackson primarily. And then Quincy Jones was like one of the producers.
Okay, so am I thinking of something else that was the Bob Geldof thing?
I don't know Bob Geldof.
Okay. He did something like We Are the World. I must be... I love it. Like my confusion is now highlighted on the internet.
Well, I mean, maybe he had something to do with it and I missed it. But yeah, it was fun. I'd give it a watch. If you got it. It was an hour and a half, and I was like, how are they going to stretch out a documentary about one song like to an hour and a half? And they managed to do it.
Okay, I found it. Bob Geldof was the guy for Band Aid that did the song Do They Know It's Christmas. So am I getting that mixed up now?
Yeah, We Are the World is definitely different.
They seem like, in retrospect now, they seem like kind of the same thing. Because wasn't it the same deal where, like, people traded lines and stuff?
Yeah. Yep,
all the famous
exactly.
people?
Yep.
Yeah. Somehow I'm going to have to clear up my confusion on that. I'm still not clear on it.
maybe that was the precursor that, like, opened the door to We Are the World.
That's interesting. Okay.
Anyway.
That's pretty good. That's like a, a good bonus segment. So
there you go.
That's why we p- pay the big the big bucks in studio upgrades to you guys. All right, I think we have a really good lineup, fun lineup of bands this week. Did you know that in 2021, my number 8 album of the year was The Umbrellas' first album?
Was it really?
Yeah. And I remembered that I liked it, but then I thought, God, did that make my top 10? I went back and found it. So here we are. It's time for album number 2 by The Umbrellas from San Francisco. And it's pretty good, right?
Yeah, totally. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I mean, I guess I won't go too deep into it right here at the start, but
yeah, that whole San Francisco scene is so great, you know, San Francisco, Oakland, whatever, Bay Area stuff. And The Umbrellas are just, they have a little bit more of a polished sound than some of the other ones, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think they still fit in really well. I was reading about this album before it came out, getting some promo stuff, you know, and I kind of, like I always do, I kind of just didn't pay any attention. I just said to myself, yep, I remember I like The Umbrellas, so it should be good. So it was great, great listening to it. Enjoyed it the first time and even more the second and third times. So the album is called Fairweather Friend, and we're going to play some music from this album, aren't we?
Sounds like a good plan.
I think I'm going to be, should I be cutting edge and pick a deep cut?
Yeah, because that leaves me with the with the surefire hit. That
then
I
you have to play
pick.
The hit? All right.
What I think is the hit anyway.
I'm going to play number 8, When You Find Out. The Umbrellas.
What a great voice.
She has a really great voice. And they do the trade-off vocals, and it's such a fun contrast, isn't it? Because his voice is kind of rough a little. I don't know how you describe it. But I don't know how well we're going to demonstrate that in the tracks that we pick, but it's cool. It's good.
Yeah, I do love how, you know, she'll sing part of a song and then he just kind of comes in in the middle and takes over.
Yeah. It's cool. So, all right, what's it going to be?
I'm up, huh? Okay. Well, I'm going to pick track 2 because I was playing this in the car a lot this weekend, and my 7-year-old already was rocking out to this track, Goodbye. She was by the, I think it makes it easy that they repeat the chorus maybe 3 to 4 times. By the third time round, she was singing along, so I had to put this down as the track to play.
before I play it, let's, I don't know if this is going to demonstrate this observation, but don't you think sometimes the drummer just goes kind of crazy? It's like it's like this kind of nice pop song, and then you picture the drummer in the back, he's just going, he's just like,
it's pounding. like the Deerhoof drummer just going nuts.
Yeah. It was like off-putting to me at first, and then as I got to know the album more, I just kind of found it kind of charming. But there's like all these rolls and crazy things. I think he does some of that in this song. So here it is, number two, Goodbye. Great.
It's got to be exhausting doing that, all that drumming.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like how it's mixed too. It's like really like loud in the mix,
right?
Which I love. I'm a big fan of that. But I was kind of shocked. I don't know that we'll play the track, but how like rockin' track three is. It's just like,
right.
Whoa.
Right.
Like, and that's out of left field. I mean, I feel like it's just louder and more rockin' overall the whole album,
and that's the one where the drummer really goes nuts. Like he's just like I didn't pick that one though, so yeah. Well, the listeners can you know listen to the whole thing, which they should. So I really like the I don't know, it's almost the ballad. I mean, it's sort of a semi ballad, but I just think it's so great. Number four, Echoes.
Say what we already know.
the umbrellas.
There he was. I was feeling bad that we hadn't highlighted him, but I thought he was coming in at some point. I'm glad you let it play out a little bit.
Finally, we let him get in there. But yeah, yep. Well, I'm giving this a like. I feel like I'm not expressing how much I really like this album. Like I like it so much that I'm kind of thinking that it will be surprising to me if it doesn't make my top 10.
Wow.
And here we are in just 1 month into the year. Yeah. It's such a good album. Highly recommended. Yep. Okay. I think we did it justice. 3 really good tracks, and there's all kinds of fun on this album. So,
and I'm glad I'm starting the year off in California, where I belong.
Right. With your California people.
It's good to be back. Well,
let's see.
Who do we have next?
Where are we going next? My list of new albums is so long. I have to scroll like crazy. Let's go over to Brussels, Belgium, and talk about Capsuna.
Yes.
That's how I'm saying it. Could be wrong.
That's how Suri was saying whenever I would say, "Hey Suri, play Spotify."
And she said Capsuna?
Yep. Oh. It's already jumping. She's listening to me all the time. There we go.
Oh, because you said, "Hey Siri." Yeah, that's right. So now I said it. Now it's going to keep.
Oh,
like,
no.
Yeah. Well, not that you can trust Siri to say anything correctly, but let's go with Capsuna from Brussels, Belgium, and they have the new self-titled album. Did you see that there's an earlier version of this album that has like 6 of the songs, and they're more raw recordings?
Oh. No, I didn't.
It's interesting
see that.
To hear because it already sounds sort of raw, right?
Yeah,
definitely. it's even kind of murkier on the older recordings. I just sampled it a little bit.
Okay, so is this the like kind of? It's also self-titled as well. Okay,
right, and I think the earlier one was just a few months ago, but then they kind of upgraded it or something.
Maybe they mixed it and had it mastered. All tracks mixed by Stevie Gerton. Maybe Stevie has some magical mixing powers.
I thought they would send it to Mikey Young to be mastered by Mikey Young, like most albums are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, I think you were telling me that this doesn't have that many plays, right? It's like pretty, like it's early to buy stock, in other words.
Yes,
right?
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, I had this on the "This sounds kind of cool. I should probably listen to it and maybe talk about it on the podcast" list. And then when I ran it by you, you were like all over it. So
yeah, I think, well, they've gone up. I feel like when we were messaging back and forth, it was around 120 something monthly listeners on Spotify, and now they're almost up to 200. So they're rising.
It could be the anticipation that we were going to talk about it. Yeah. It leaked. There was a leak somewhere.
I don't know. The first time I heard this, I was just thrilled with it. I'm loving it.
I'm going to give you the first pick.
Okay. I'm going to go Not So Deep all the way to track 3 with Horoscope.
Trying not to laugh out loud.
This Capsuna, I just looked it up. Some deep journalism. Capsuna means strawberry in some language other than English that I didn't figure out in the last minute and a half.
That's pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a gentleman by the name of David Enright, who was formerly from Cincinnati, who moved over and pieced together this band.
A guy from Cincinnati moved to Brussels for indie rock stardom.
That's cool. I like it.
That's a kind of unlikely story, right?
I know, yeah. But man, I love how it's a five-piece band, but it doesn't really sound like it's a five-piece band.
Right, like right.
It's not overloaded with, you know, several guitars and solos, and it's all very tasteful.
Yep, and it's got like kind of a cool lo-fi, no-frills kind of sound to it.
Which is, you know, it's right up my alley.
They could have recorded it on a Tascam 488 with
I wonder what they yeah
with money. Seven channels working. Ooh, that's a good inside joke, right? Somebody's gonna get that.
How'd you know what I was doing this afternoon?
Okay, I'm gonna keep my indie rock cred and pick a deep cut.
Okay,
I kind of thought that as it goes on, there's like some more catchy tracks. Sort of, it's interesting how that is. Anyway, number 9, Papillon. Capsuna. To me, that's a catchy track. Maybe to some people it's, you know, kind of slow and slightly gloomy, but I love it.
Well, I think her voice is really nice, and it's just it's like a warm blanket. It's good stuff.
Yep, definitely. All right, back to you, Jason, for the all-important third pick.
It's hard. I have track 8, Storm, highlighted, and track 4, Supermarket. You know what? Let's go deep cut as well, just because everybody's going to make it through the fourth track if they listen to this thing. So we'll get them to the 8th track with Storm.
Stuck in a hole.
That's Capsuna.
Yeah, and I would be shocked if this one isn't on my top 10.
Wow, we're getting the year off to a strong start, aren't we?
I know. These are bold statements we've got tonight, but I mean, I don't know. Who knows what the year is going to bring, but yeah, I'm loving it. It's just I don't know. They made that album. The album is even like a collage artwork. Come on.
That's right. They were going for you because that's your kind of artwork.
A little fuzzed out guitar down there. Yeah, I'm all in.
Yeah,
I'm pushing my chips in on Capsuna.
Buying stock.
Yep.
Okay. Should we declare ourselves 2 for 2?
2 for 2.
I think so. And now you can always depend on Jason to come up with something. It's like, wait, where did this come from? You said I've really been getting into this band, so I find the album, which is kind of weird because there's a different band by the same name and they're on like,
yeah,
the
tough,
label,
right?
And yeah, it's kind of weird trying to find it. We'll explain that a little bit further. But then I put it on and it's just like, this is like, you know, early Guided by Voices or something, or it's just really like off the wall. It's unpredictable, and the recording's kind of cool, and I could see why you like it. There's even a song that sounds like you and Elsa jamming in the basement. You probably know what song I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah, I think I do. I think I have it on my list.
Okay, we'll find out. Yeah. All right. Why don't you introduce this band?
Okay, so the band is called Orchard, and I'm going to shout out my friend Fran, who runs this music blog called Heavy Metal Kids. .co.uk because he's overseas. He premiered this or shared it on his blog, and I was just like, what? This is cool. I don't know. I just fell for it immediately. But the album is called Till You Fall Down, and it's on a label over in the UK called Cruel Nature Records, and it seems like it's only on Bandcamp from what I can tell. And it's only through the record label's Bandcamp. So, yeah. It's kind of hard to find.
It's elusive. Yeah.
If you want to find it, I would search on Bandcamp, Orchard, Till You Fall Down.
Because if you just search Orchard Bandcamp, you get some other Orchard from Minneapolis.
They don't even
or
show up.
Right.
Should we pick a track and then talk further? Because there's some really fun stuff on their Bandcamp to talk about.
Yeah. Oh, I think so too. I think there's a little trivia item that you probably caught just like I did. So yeah, let's play a track.
Okay. Who wants to, do I take the lead?
Yeah,
on this
you
one?
Definitely take the lead.
Okay. All right. I'm going to go with track 7, Freedom. It's got a good message.
Let the weak feel strong. Let us not fight. Let us not fall so long.
That's Orchard, And I'll tell you what that song sounds like. It sounds like Jay Maskus jamming with Guided by Voices in 1992.
I like it.
There's no other track, though, where he sounds like Jay Maskus. You know, it's like he's got sort of different styles on different tracks.
Yeah, he really does, yeah. And then the woman vocalist is just like, wow, out there. Like, whoa. Like, I wish that I was that free and could just be wild and crazy with my voice. It's so much fun.
It's Joel and Rosie are the two band members. And then they list their gear, which is so great, right?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was looking at. So they have their guitars listed and the drums, 1970s British snare.
And a Zildjian K dry ride.
The last little bit, whatever kit is lying around.
Right.
And I think earlier it says it was written and recorded without using amplifiers in as few takes as possible to avoid perfectionism.
So that did surprise me when I read that it's without amplifiers. So
yeah, that's like, I meant to, message them and ask them, how did you do it without amplifiers? And my only thought is that they plug the guitar straight into whatever they're recording, right?
Yeah, but they must have, I mean, there's probably like amp emulator apps or something where they just plugged it into something and ran it through like a modeling type of thing.
Yeah, you would think, unless they just have, a really great old tape machine or something, because sometimes I think those things sound great overdriven if you're running a guitar just straight from the guitar into the tape machine.
Yeah, you can overdrive different ways. But
and you get that tape saturation, which is great. Yeah. But this sounds like it's just a microphone in a room and they're just bashing it out.
It does, yeah. Yeah. So do you ever record do you always record by miking an amplifier? Your guitar?
I've done the straight into like the four track. I'll sometimes go through the pedals and straight into the four track.
Right. Yeah.
But primarily, yeah, it's usually miking it and into the computer.
It's pretty cool. It's a fun album, Orchard. I have to go back to my list now and see what did I pick. okay. That was one of my picks. And then the other one, of course, is the obvious track two. So let's play that one.
Okay.
It's sort of the pseudo title track, right? Because I think they say Till You Fall Down in it, but the song is actually called Carry. Yep. That's pretty fun stuff.
That's pop perfection.
Yep. And they avoided, working on it too hard so that it would sound too perfect.
Yeah, that's right.
You got to keep that kind of rough sound, which is
fun. Raw.
Yep.
In the moment.
Yep. That's Orchard Till You Fall Down. And what else are we going to play?
Well, I guess we'll go to the track that I believe it's an instrumental, but I could really see myself and Elsa playing this.
Totally.
Was it track 5, I think is what it was? Hot Sea Waffle. I mean, what a great title, too.
Yep. This is not Jason and Elsa jamming in the basement. Also do that crazy open hi-hat thing. I saw you laughed and I was laughing so at the same time.
They're just
why is that
bashing
funny?
Away on, oh my gosh, it's so funny.
Yeah, the open hi-hat thing was just great. just start pounding. Yeah, Orchard. Oh, is it the label or the band from Newcastle upon Tyne? That's what the Bandcamp says. So I'm going to assume it's the band.
Yeah. It says, in the short bio that's in there, it says that they are veterans of London bands, and they list like 5 or 6 bands, but they said in 2022, they headed to North Yorkshire and formed Orchard.
All right.
So maybe they escaped London.
Yeah. The bustle of London, yes. Where the expectations were to be too polished, you know, like L.A., you know, so they wanted to just go do some basement recordings.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really fun. It's a fun discovery. Good job by the Heavy Metal Kids guy.
Yes, thank you, Fran.
It always throws me off. Every once in a while, I get a link to something on his blog, and the heavy metal part always kind of throws me off. It's like, probably he was a heavy metal kid. Like, I could say I was a heavy metal kid, you know, when I was a teenager. That's what I was into, you know?
Yeah.
So, but he's not reviewing heavy metal now, right?
No, not at all.
I don't think there's any such thing as heavy metal anymore. It's just called metal, right?
Oh, sure, sure. Or, yeah, you're probably right.
Or, you know, death metal or gloom metal or whatever, but not heavy metal. It's like not a cool term anymore.
Yeah, we've surpassed heavy.
Yep. Beyond heavy. Let's play a little bonus. There's another. Don't you think the last track instrumental is really cool? Let's just
We can throw that in there. Sure.
Play a little piece of it called Yellow Grass.
Thank you.
I just wanted to play a little piece of that. And think about it. No amplifiers? Man, I think he's probably just doing the, like, what you talked about. Like, the pedal board has all kinds of stuff on it. They just plug the thing in, right?
That's true.
He didn't say no pedals.
He did not say no pedals. That's true.
He could have 20 pedals, but just not put it through an amplifier.
I mean, I think they have pedals that are amp simulators, too. So,
right,
you know.
Right.
Anything is possible in 2020. I guess they were probably recorded in 2023, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Very fun find. I have to credit the Heavy Metal Kids for that blog for that one.
Absolutely.
But also credit you for having the taste to pick up on it. So you think we can maybe double the listeners for both Capsuna and Orchard?
I think so.
Yeah. Indie Rock Stardom awaits. Let's do it, people. Good
from Cincinnati
stuff.
To Indie Rock Stardom.
Yeah, that is just the... I didn't know the Cincinnati part. That's pretty great.
That was my deep, deep journalism coming through.
Yeah, I mean, it must have taken... You must have gone from source to source to source and, like, talked to, like, 10 different people until you finally found that.
Or I'll just shout out the blog Rosie Overdrive. Because they mentioned it in their write-ups. So.
You might have told me about Rosie Overdrive, too, because I found that recently. And I can't believe how many albums they listen to.
I don't know how many.
Because they'll be like, they'll feature like five or six, like,
I know,
every 2 days. And then they'll say, oh, by the way, and there's also these albums. There's like a dozen more. Like, it's like,
I know,
what?
It's unbelievable. And their write-ups are like 2 to 3 paragraphs at a time. It's like.
Yeah, they're not.
You know, they actually listen to them.
They're not just haphazard, right?
Yeah.
Wow, pretty great. All right, we're just rolling into 2024, and this is where you'd think I've got my $0 worth. I'm perfectly happy saying goodnight, and then you realize, wait, there's I can't believe it. They're going to give me even more.
It's the bonus song of the week. The bonus song of the week.
We never plan who's going first on the bonus song of the week. But
well, should I go since I'm going to stick with lo-fi?
Sure. Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, I'm going with one of my favorite lo-fi songs ever. Since we're in the I was listening to Times New Viking a lot last weekend before I got the call to be on the podcast, and then this took over my life for this week. So I'm going to go with one of their best songs ever, Ever Falling in Love from Dancer Acquired, their last album. I don't know. I dream of them getting back together and putting out another album.
This is from 2011. So
it's been a while.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know they've all done their own things, and I've highlighted, I think one of them before, but yeah.
All right. Here it is.
Thank you.
Wow, that's really great. Times New Viking. Yeah. I had that album in my collection, my library, and I know I listened to it, but I don't remember it, so I must have not listened to it very much.
I didn't listen to it when it came out.
Boy, that's a great track, though.
I don't know. I came to it later, maybe a couple years later or something. But
fun pick.
Good stuff. I think Ohio-based. More Ohio.
Yeah. God, that's... I can't remember where. That sounds familiar now.
They might... I can't remember. I mean, they were always getting compared to Guided by Voices, and I can't remember if that was also because they were from Dayton as well, or maybe they were just from Cleveland or another...
Another Cincinnati person. Could be a Cincinnati tie-in.
Maybe.
Yeah. All right. Remember the band Royal Headache? They were just a really fun power pop band from Australia from a few years ago. And I loved them. And turns out their singer, he's been still kind of doing some rocking. And his name, he goes by a single name, Shogun. And now he has a group with one other member. And the other guy's name is Finn. So they took their name, Shogun and Finn, and they call themselves Finnegan's Wake. And they spell it, like, differently because of their names, you know?
Yeah.
They just put out this EP, and the first track is really fun. Good power pop stuff and good vocals by Shogun. It's the Stay Young EP, and this is called Blue Skies. Finnegan's Wake from Sydney, Australia, just up the street from Nicholas.
Oh, it's great.
Some fun stuff. I hope they've kind of just been trickling out songs, like, at a very, very slow rate. So, but hopefully they become a full band with a full album and do some rocking.
Yeah.
It's one of my regrets of gigs that I missed was when Royal Headache came here and played at the Memorial Union. It's like out on the lake. I can't remember why I didn't go because I really loved the band at the time. But something happened which caused me to not go, which could be just me being lazy or whatever. But yeah, that's the way it goes. Think how many gigs we've missed. You miss a lot more than you actually see, you know?
Oh, I know I do.
You got plenty of time to catch up.
Yep.
Being a young person that you are. Okay, that's it. We really have run out of content now. So listeners are going to have to just accept that fact. Oh, it's going to be so close to an hour. Boy, it might bump. We've been recording a little more than an hour, but take out all my mistakes. I usually make 5 minutes worth of mistakes. So and we can't allow those to be heard, right? That's why I sound so totally polished.
That's right.
Because I take all the mistakes out.
Yes, our streamlined episode to start off the year.
Yep. Seems like the cat just found other things to do.
I guess
so. He was all over you, and then suddenly he was just gone, never reappear. All right. Well, thanks, Jason. Keep on listening to you're definitely the go-to man for the lo-fi. So,
resident lo-fi nerd.
When the cool lo-fi stuff comes out, we can't overlook it.
Yeah. Send it my way.
for every two bands we talk about, the Rosie Overdrive guy talks about like 25.
Oh, I know.
Oh, it's funny. But that's great, right? I mean, who cares if there's no more Pitchfork? I remember when I used to actually, a very significant percentage of the albums that I would listen to and talk about were reviewed on Pitchfork.
Yeah.
And that's just gradually, the percentage has just gone down and down and down, you know?
Yeah. I rarely go to to it anymore. Yeah. And, you know, I definitely feel bad for the writers that are losing or have lost their jobs. But
right. Yep.
I mean, I think the music blog thing is still happening, and there's a lot of people that are writing about stuff that's more interesting than what Pitchfork or Stereo Gum is doing.
Right. Like I was going to say, you know, it's a good thing that there are so many other good bloggers and writers that I'm starting to kind of, my go-to list of music sources has really changed. And I'm just happy that I've found other things so that I don't need Pitchfork.
Yeah.
So, but again, yeah, it's kind of sad. What are they going to be? What's the magazine? It's like a men's magazine.
I can't remember.
I want to say like Men's Health, but it's not
something
that.
It's
one of those. Yeah, it's one of those magazines.
It's all under one of those big umbrellas, like Esquire or something like that.
Right. Giant corporate media. Oh, let's hope Bandcamp kind of, like, there was a lot of concern about Bandcamp getting bought out, and it hasn't really been noticeable yet.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it seems like it's still, yeah. I mean, I know a lot of people lost their jobs there too, but it seems like it's still, at least the website is being maintained.
And it's like, you got to have Bandcamp.
I know. Because now it's like there's new rules with Spotify. If you don't, if a track doesn't play over 1,000 times, then they aren't paying you anymore.
I was listening to the podcast about that. But isn't the other side of that? If you, under the old way, if you got like 900 plays, you'd still get almost nothing anyway, right?
Yeah, so I guess.
You get $5 or something?
I mean, it adds up, you know, over, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I have songs that are right on that 900 play cost.
Did you get, you got to tell us, did you get like $1?
I would have to log in to look at my.
Maybe you get $10. I mean,
I never touch it. You know, I just let it sit there because I don't want to mess with it. You know, I'm just letting it grow until I'm ready to retire. And then I'm going to cash in my 900 plays.
At some point, it's just going to, stardom will await. You got to get one of your songs played on a commercial or something.
I know.
How about on the Super Bowl? Sneak it into the Super Bowl somehow.
Elsa and I often joke that we would be the first to sell out.
do a collaboration with Taylor Swift. That would help.
That right. would. I would be all in on that because of how much the right wing hate her right now.
Yeah. Oh, God. Oh, it's just so ridiculous. Oh, okay.
I'm waiting. Taylor, just give me a call. We can do this.
Yep.
She needs to make her basement lo-fi indie rock album. It's time. She's worked with The National. It's time.
Yeah, she did.
It's time to go to the basement.
Yeah, I was going to say I have a couple of old albums on Bandcamp, just from like old stuff I did in the 80s. And I thought, might as well put it up there. Then my friends want to listen to it or whatever, they can find it or whatever. And it's great because sometimes I get like the monthly report says, here's your monthly report from Bandcamp. Listeners, Zero. Nobody listened to it. And it'll say, like, all time listens. God, I think I have one that has, like, you know, like 75 listens or something. It's something else that has, like, I don't know. Not very many. Not very many, let's say. All right. But that's what's cool about Bandcamp. You can just put it up there, right?
Right. Like, I mean, I got to say, like, one of the nicest things is people can pay whatever they want. So if they want to give you $100 for your album, they can do it.
Right.
You know, there's no way around that on the other streaming services.
I think I was talking about that with one of the other correspondents a few years ago about how if I was just independently wealthy, right, just had unlimited money, yeah, I would just go on Bandcamp and just like pay $1,000 for some album that I liked. They'd really appreciate it, right? Or even more. $10,000. Like if you were imagine if you were like a multimillionaire, like how much fun you could have doing stuff like that, right?
Just being like a patron of the arts, it would be amazing.
Totally. Yes, absolutely.
Like, yeah. Why make more money? Give it to somebody else.
Right.
It seems like they always want to just make more money.
Yep. Yep.
Give us the money. We'll distribute it for them.
Maybe they could do that. Like, create the Will's Band Trust. So guaranteed that I will not use it, but I'll give it to artists. Dish it out.
It's of course you can't,
but then you can't. People can't know that you're actually doing that, or it would inevitably people would be lobbying for it. So you'd have to be super anonymous about it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
but that'd still be great.
Can't take the credit.
Yeah. Okay. Thanks, everybody. All right. Thanks, Jason. We'll talk to everybody again next week. Probably next week. We have no idea what's happening next week because we just go week to week. Try to come up with something. We usually do.
To avoid perfectionism.
Exactly. That's why. Yeah. Okay. We'll talk to everybody again probably next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Will's Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.